Kof Adar, Monday the 16th of March, Rabbi Sholem Segal, Birchas Ha'elonos in Halacha and Agodah. Blossom time.
Good morning. As we're approaching the Chodesh Nisan, HaChodesh HaZeh Lachem Rosh Chodoshim, so I thought we'd speak a little bit about, as per the title, the subject of the Birchas Ha'ilonis, a bracha which we make just once a year. A bracha which, as we'll see, Be'ez Hashem, is a bracha connected to the month of Nisan. The Gemara says in Brachos, Mem Gimel Amud Beis, also Gemara in Rosh Hashanah, that a person who goes out in the days of Nisan and he sees the blossoms on the tree, he shall make the bracha Baruch Ato Hashem, etc. Shall have chisem for ilam the kolum that Hakadosh Baruch Hu didn't leave out anything in his world. He created within it beautiful creations. V'ilonis toivos lehisnois b'hem b'nei adam. There's slightly different gersois there, but that's the gers we have in the Gemara. Lehisnois b'hem b'nei adam, which Rashi says is an expression of hana for the human beings to gain hana from, to gain benefit. So, the shaila is it dafka in the month of Nisan, or is it dependent on when the trees blossom? So, strictly speaking, halakhically speaking, it doesn't really have to be in the month of Nisan. The Mishnah Berura follows the Acharonim who say that Hu Adin, if you see the blossoms in the month of Adar, or if you only see them in the month of Iyar, that would obviously be perfectly fine. Nonetheless, there is clearly an inyan to do it in the month of Nisan if and where possible. Some hold, in fact, Ad Kedei Kach, the Kaf HaChaim says that if a person misses the month of Nisan, he should do it without Shem or Malchus. Nonetheless, the Mishnah Berurah sticks with the halacha that it doesn't make a difference if it's Nisan or not. But as we said, probably better, in fact, not just probably, it's definitely better to do it in the month of Nisan. And definitely, Mitami Kabbalah is the month has to be in the month of Nisan.
Yeah, fruit tree.
Sorry?
Yeah, fruit tree, not blossoms of other trees.
Oh, I'm sorry, I'm coming to that. So it's got to be, quite correct, it's got to be, number one, it's got to be the blossoms, not the leaves. In other words, it's got to have reached the stage of blossoms, point one. Point two is that the blossoms have to be signaling that there is going to be fruit there. In other words, a non-fruit-bearing tree, you can't make a bracha on that. And we're saying, therefore, it should be done ideally in the month of Nisan. Obviously, countries in the southern hemisphere, such as South Africa, South America, Australia, places like this, they're going to be, for them it's impossible to do it until their spring, which is going to be around the month of Tishri, give or take a little bit. Somebody who does travel, let's say from here to Australia, assuming within 6 months travel becomes available again, you wouldn't make the bracha again. It's a bracha, the Shulchan Aruch says, Pam Achas Bashana, only once in the year.
You only make it first if you see it, or if you see an Adar, you should better wait
until Nisan. Oh, so we'll come to that. We'll come to that, Be'ez Hashem, the next point. But there's also a thing about ideally, Kav HaChaim mentions, ideally to do it on more than one tree, because the Lashon of the Gemara implies Ilan knows many trees. Nonetheless, it doesn't seem that if a person sees it in the month of Nisan, we'll come to your question, Be'ez Hashem, in a second, but if you see in the month of Nisan, say, well, some years we have it, it's very, very late in blossoming, and it's only right at the end of Nisan you get trees which are beginning to blossom. In such a case, it would seem definite that it's better to do it in the month of Nisan rather than waiting for the month of Iyar, so I can get more than one tree in one location. So the first question we want to raise over here is, why in the month of Nisan? It's quite clear, halakhically speaking at least, that it goes by the time of year when the trees blossom. So why does the Gemara pick on the month of Nisan? You'll say, because obviously in Bovel and Eretz Yisrael, that's the sort of time we're speaking. But it seems that there is a special inyan in the month of Nisan. What exactly is that?
And leap year, you would have a Dar Sheni when it's...
It would be even later, correct. Yeah, or sort of earlier in Nisan, correct. The next question is, that somebody just raised, is does it have to be effectively the first time you see it? That also is a point of Machlokes. Based on the Magen Avraham, the Magen Avraham says if a person sees new fruit, so you're supposed to make Shapiyamu, strictly speaking, when you see the fruit. So the Magen Avraham understands it's only the first time, or he's cheshish for the shitta, which holds that you can only make the shafion on the first time you see the fruit. Nonetheless, we are knowing to make the bracha even if it's not the first time you've seen the fruit, because the reason for that is because we are knowing to make the bracha of shafion not upon seeing the fruit, but rather upon eating the fruit. And the Matzis HaShekel says, and the Mishnah Berurah really sort of takes it a little bit further, and he says here, according to the Magen Avraham, it would really be a kol shekein, you'd only be able to make the bracha on the first time seeing the blossoms. The reason being, because over here we don't make the bracha on eating it, it's going to be on seeing the blossoms, and therefore, avada, according to the Magen Avraham, and possibly even according to those who are chledik on the Magen Avraham, there would be reason to believe you can only make it on the first time you see the blossoms. Nonetheless, the halacha doesn't actually follow that. The Mishnah Berurah goes with the shittas, the rabba, who all know that even if you didn't make the bracha the first time you saw it, you can still make the bracha. Once again, what happens if, however, a person sees it for the first time, let's say on Shabbos? Now on Shabbos, some people are makbid not to make it on Shabbos. The reason being, it's a very, very good question, but the reason brought, two reasons brought are, number one, out of chashash, maybe you'll come to pluck something or move the branches and things like that. And the other one is, because of boira. Because they say, al pi kabbalah, you're being mavara, then it's tzotzot, etc. But as the post can point out, both of these reasons don't really have much halakhic basis, because if it's be'emes, it's a mafurish, a gemara, and sukkah, it's paskins in shin lamed vav, that we're not chashash, even if a person goes to smell hadasim, we're not actually choshesh that a person is going to pluck them and detach them. It's only something which actually bears fruit. There's fruit there right now. So then there's a chashash, you'll come to pluck it to eat it. So that's also chashash of maybe you'll come to move it or pluck it. As for the chashash of boreh, clearly from a halakhic standpoint, there can't be boreh on something which bichlal you can't see. There's some ruchni, a sticker of boreh going on there. Probably every time you make a bracha, you're doing all sorts of... you're being Baina Olamis, etc. Obviously, we don't go with that from a halachic perspective. And therefore, it's on the contrary, the Aderes, they say, used to make the bracha bedafla on Shabbos. Why bedafla on Shabbos? In order to help make up his 100 brachas. So, Rav Shlomo Zalman wasn't makpid, he was quite happy to make it on Shabbos. The Stifler, various others would make it on Shabbos, especially if they were choshesh, they wouldn't be able to see it later on in the week. So, if the first time a person sees it on Shabbos, or as we said, the first time you see it, it's only one tree. Or, because some people would like to get a minyan, there is an inyan, Reb Chaim Vilaji brings to do it with a minyan. But it seems, again, you could debate this point, but if a person has actually seen it and the kavona, in other words, you actually look, oh, that's a fruit tree, then arguably, it would be better to do it there and then, in order to fulfill those who are, the shitta of those who hold you can't make the bracha once you've seen it and didn't make the bracha the first time, rather than being cheshish for hidurim and things like that, in yonim, but things which are not sort of halakhically based. Once the trees have already gone to the stage where they're actually producing fruit, so the halakha is, at that point, you wouldn't be able to make the bracha anymore. Unless you did not see the trees at all until now. In other words, you never saw the blossoms at all. This is the first time you came across a fruit tree and it's already at a stage where it's producing fruit. There, the Mishnah Berurah says, I mean, it's based on the Shulchan Aruch there, if that's the first time, then, based on the Gaon, you'd be able to still make the bracha. But only so long as the fruit hasn't become sort of fully developed to the extent that you'd even be able to make shefianu on it. Once it's reached that stage, then says the Mishnah Berurah, the Prima Gog and the Chayei Odom seem to be mashmad, you wouldn't be able to make the bracha anymore.
If it's Berchas Hanenin, then why couldn't you make it more than once?
It's not, it's more of a Berchas HaShvach. It's a Shvach, yeah. So that being the case, if the bracha we're making is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is giving us these beautiful brios, ilonis, tovos, in order to give us hanor, then why are we making the bracha when you see the blossoms? What's the great hanor? And when I see the fruit, no longer can you make the bracha. Ideally, you can't make it on the fruit. It's got to be on the blossoms. What great hanor is there in that? You probably get great hanor at looking at a beautiful flower bed. So what are you going to say? But you're going to get fruit from it. Okay, so make the bracha when the fruit comes about. What exactly is the inyan in this bracha? And perhaps just one last point, one last question, but this Be'ez Hashem will sort of enter the Dvar HaGadol on this, and that is, what's the Loshon Hisnois Kohen B'nei Odom? The truth is, some Medaktikim, they've taken the license, they believe that, you know, it must be a mistake, it can't be either Lisnois or Lehonos, they've changed it to Lehanos, to give Hanor to people. What's the Loshon Lehisnois? But Rashi clearly says it's the Loshon of Hanor. What does that mean? The word Lehisnois is what we call the Binyan Hispael. It's reflexive. It refers back to the person who's doing it. So for example, when you are Mispael, when you daven, it's written in the reflexive. Why? Presumably because when you daven, it's a two-way connection. You're davening to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but there is a connection built back towards the person himself. It seems, therefore, that perhaps, as I said, from a drush point of view, Lehisnois b'hem b'nei adam means that it's related to the person himself. The hanor is not just that a person gets hanor, it's actually doing something to the person himself. There's a message for the person himself. What exactly is that message? It seems we know that the human being is referred to as the Eitz HaSodeh. We, each and every single person, is referred to as a tree. And therefore it seems that with this barakah, there's obviously some message to the human being. In order to try and bring out some sort of message, let's just take a look at the 3 months, Shabbat, Adar, and Nisan. All 3 months are very much associated with trees. Shabbat is the Rosh Hashanah Le'ilonis. You go to the month of Adar. Adar, the Gemara says in Rosh Hashanah Chaf Gimel, it says there that it's one of the 10 types of cedar tree. Also, you've got a Gemara in Beit Zadat, Daf Tesvov, where the Gemara there says it's a very, very strong tree. And in fact, Ad Kedei Kaf, that anyone who's got this Adar tree planted in their field, it will protect their property, protect the Peiris, Peiraseh, Hovish Tamarin. So the Adar tree is something which is, in fact, the Gemara says it's called the Adar tree, because it's the Kaimi Dori Dori, because it's there to stand for generations. Or, Al-Shem the Pasuk, Adir Ba-Morim Hashem. So it's something, Adar is a very, very mighty tree. And in fact, for anyone who's been doing Daf HaYomi, you've got the Gemara in Brachos in the sugya about dreams there. So the Gemara says there that Bar Kapori came to Rebbe and he said to him, he said, I saw in a dream that I was going to die in the month of Adar. So he said to him, no, what it means is that you're going to die by Adar Yusuf with great covet. Right? It says you'll die in Adar and you won't see the month of Nisan. So he says, then what it means is, as Al-Pirashi, it means you'll die in Adar, means you'll die with great covet. Adar is an expression of covet. And Nisan you won't see means you won't come Lidei Nisoy. So that's the month of Adar. And Nisan, besides the fact that we'll be making a brach of Ezra Hashem on the trees, the Loshon Nisan comes from the word Nitzon. Right? It's clear in Sforim, Nitzon, which is the expression of these blossoms, the nates. Right, the blossoms are on the tree there. So what exactly is going on? What's the pattern from Shavat, Adar, to Nisan? Tu B'Shvat is the Rosh Hashanah Lo Ilonis. What exactly is it that we see on the trees on Tu B'Shvat that we make a greater Yom Tov out of Tu B'Shvat? You look at the tree in the month of Shavat and you see literally nothing. It's bare. There's nothing there. There's no blossoms, no leaves. It's already, all the leaves have been blown off. There's nothing there. So what exactly are we celebrating the Rosh Hashanah Lo Ilonis? You'd think it should be at a time, maybe when the fruit is visible. So what's interesting is, if you count from the beginning of the year, from Rosh Chodesh Nisan to the month, or till Tu B'Shvat, from Rosh Chodesh Nisan till Tu B'Shvat, in a normal year of Chosem Odeh, all the way through, you'll find that it's exactly 310 days. 310 days. Gematria Yesh. We know Chazal say that the Osin Lovo Mishnah in Uksin, at the end of Uksin there, that the Osin Lovo HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to give the whole Tzadik V'Tzadik Shai Olamos. Yesh Olamos. What's the Inyan in that? So it seems that perhaps the Inyan is because we know that Kol Zaman, we're living in Golos. Kol Zaman Amalek is in the world. Rashi then, the Parashat B'Shalach, Kiyot Al Keis Koh, the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not complete. The name of our Kodesh Baruch Hu is Kiviyochel, is halved. The Keser of our Kodesh Baruch Hu, the crown, the Malchus of our Kodesh Baruch Hu is halved. Half of the word Keser, Keser is Gematria 620, half of that is 310. It's pointed out by the Ben Ishchai in Megillah in a different context, but that's 310 is half of Keser. What is it that makes this Tzaddik, makes him special, is that the Tzaddik, even in a time of Hester, even in a time of Oilon, is the Loshon of Hedon, even when the Shekhinah, the other half of the Shekhinah, you can't see it, but the Tzaddik lives with that Emunah, that it's still there. V'onechi haster astir ponai v'ayemahu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I may be concealed, but I'm still there. Behind the clouds, behind the veils, behind the mask, I'm still there. And that's what the tzaddik lives with that emunah. The shai olamos that he's promised in the future is not based on the 310 which you can see, the half that you can see. The reason why he's zecher to shai olamos is because he says even what I can't see, the part of the malchus of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which our Malik is doing everything to conceal, even that I live with the absolute emunah, yesh, that it's still there. What is behelam? Yesh is still there. And therefore HaKadosh Baruch Hu promises him that the osilavu will be zecher to shai yesh olamos. That's what perhaps we'll be celebrating on Tu B'Shvat. Tu B'Shvat, the Gemara says in Rosh Hashanah, that it refers to the trees are going to grow on the rains of which have preceded Tu B'Shvat. It's the rains from before Tu B'Shvat. So you look at the tree and you don't see anything there. But we celebrate it as the Rosh Hashanah La'ilanos because we believe, Be'emunah Shalema, that although you don't see anything on the tree, we believe yesh, there is something there, you'll see, it's just a matter of time, before, with Mechias HaMonik, with the Zman of Geula, you'll see the fruits on the tree. Yesh, it is there. You may not be able to see it, but we live with the confidence that it is there. From Tu B'Shvat, we go into the month of Adar. So the Gemara in Megillah says, what do you do in a leap year? In an Iver year, do you celebrate Adar Rishon for Purim, or do you follow Adar Sheni? And it's a machlokes in the Gemara. And the Gemara says, well, you've got a pasuk, b'chol shana v'shana. So a leap year should be exactly like any other year. So according to one opinion in the Gemara, Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Yossi, he says, well, like all years, Adar or Purim is the month which comes after Shabbat. So too, in the leap year, Adar should follow Shabbat. The logic presumably being over here is based on what we've said. Because now we're going from that emunah. The emunah that yesh, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is there. You may not see it, but yesh, behelam, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is there. And now we're going into the month of Adar to try and do something about bringing the Yad HaKadosh Baruch Hu into the open. And that's the month of Adar, is the month we go and fight the battle against Amalek. Spearheaded by Esther and Mordechai. Esther, on the one hand, the name which epitomizes this idea of Ba'anuchi Haster Aftir Ponai Ba'yemahu, that we know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is there, albeit concealed, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu is there. Mordechai, the Gemara says, where does the word Mordechai, where do we find that in the Torah? So the Gemara says, Mor is the same gematria as Amalek. Right? Mor is this battle against Amalek. Zerah, what does the word Zerah come from? Zerah is an expression of freedom. But it's also, the Ramban says, and you, on the pasuk about Zerah, he says, it's an expression of dur, but the Elam Anodes, it's an expression of dur. This battle against Amalek is referred to as Melchoma Lashem Ba'amalek Mi dur. The battle against Amalek is for the continuity of Klal Yisrael, the Peiros of Klal Yisrael. Amalek is out there to try and break that Mesorah of Torah. Mordechai was there to protect that Mesorah of Torah, Mi dur. So it's more Zerar, in order to create that sense of freedom, but that sense of continuity of for Klal Yisrael. Zerar, which year do we call a Zerar? It's in the year 50, the year of Yoda. What happened? Haman sets up the tree once again. How high was this tree? It was Chamishim Amma. And who ended up being hanged on the tree? It was Haman. On the tree, Ano Eitzah Sheheichin and Mordechai, in the end, it turned out it was Haman was hanged on that tree, and for Klal Yisrael, it was taka a sense of Mor Zerar, there was that sense of Yehuda, that sense of Geula, that sense of freedom, and that sense of Dur, continuity for Klal Yisrael. And that is spelt out as we go from Adar into the month of Nisan. Going into the month of Nisan, as we said, now you go from Adar into Nisan is an expression of Nitzan, an expression of the blossoming. Now you begin to see the blossoms, just the beginning of those peiros. You can see the geula is already on its way. That's the expression of Nitzan. But as the Ramban says that we have to take the Nisim. The expression of Nisan is an expression of Nis, and we have to look back at the world of Teva, right, the Ramban at the end of Parshas Bo, and use that as a lens through which to see the Adam HaKadosh Baruch Hu in everything in the world of Teva as well. This is the pattern starting from Shabbat. Shabbat is the month where we live with that sense of Emunah. We don't see anything on the tree, but we know HaKadosh Baruch Hu is there. From there we go into the month of Adar, we go out to battle against Amalek, that battle for that sense of Adar, to keep the continuity of Klal Yisrael, the threat, to get rid of the threat of Haman and Amalek. And the month of Nisan is the expression of that victory, as we see the blossoms, the fruits representing the progeny, the continuity of Klal Yisrael as it begins to form. And that's the special celebration on those blossoms in the month of Nisan. We pointed out that from Rosh Chodesh Nisan till Tu B'Shvat is Yesh, 310 days. We explained why that was. But if you continue on from Tu B'Shvat, in other words, from Tessai and Shavat, until Rosh Chodesh Nisan, V'yad Bechlal, you find it's another 45 days. 45, we know, is Gematria Odom, the Eitz HaSodom. And this is because this month of Nisan is HaChodesh HaZeh Lochem Rosh Chodoshim. As they say, it's Lochem, it's a month of Ischadshus for the human being. This month, especially the Yom Tov Pesach, is a month of rebuilding, renewal of the Odom. To quote from Rav Shimshon Pinkas, a beautiful idea from Rav Shimshon Pinkas, he says, if you want to know what are we trying to do on Seder night, Seder night is a Zaman to rebuild the Odom. The Odom which Mitzrayim wanted to get rid of, we're there to rebuild the Odom. How do we go about rebuilding the Odom? So we know Chazal tell us there are three partners in the creation of Odom. You've got the father, you've got the mother, and you've got HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The father, he gives the white parts, the bones, etc., the skeleton, the backbone. The mother, she gives the red pigment, the blood, the bosor, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives the neshama and various other things. So he says, on Seder night, we have three matzahs. The matzah is made from white flour. It's referred to as the Nahamor Dehimnusa. It's the bread of Emunah. Meaning to say that is the backbone, of a Yid, is his sense of Emunah. And that's what the Av, the father, gives over. Presumably he means to say, because we know the three matzahs correspond to the three others, Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. That's the three others. The others give us that power of Emunah, the backbone, the building blocks for Yiddishkeit. The mother, she gives the red part. That's the four cups of wine. Wine, as we know, gives a person that sense of simcha, that bren, that hislahavus for Yiddishkeit. That's the love that the mother imparts to the child for Yiddishkeit. And that's the four cups, again, presumably corresponding to the four emois, Sarah, Rivka, Rachel, and Leah. And then we have Magid. Magid is the sense of the Ruach Memalelah. It's the power of speech. The Higad Tzod Vincha. That's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives to us. But perhaps we could just elaborate a little bit and bring out the following idea. If you take the word Etzer. Etzer means a bow. Right? That's what the Father gives. Now if you change that in Atzbash. You take the word Etzer and transform it in the process of Atzbash. So an ayin will swap for a zayin, a tzadi will swap for a hey, and a mem will swap for a yud. So zayin, hey, yud. It's Gematria 22. Because the atzom is the bones of the 22 building blocks of the yid. That's the 22 letters of the aleph base, the 22 building blocks of the Torah. Those are the atzomis, that's the skeleton of the Torah. So the father gives over those 22 parts. The mother, in a sense of equality, she gives over an equal part, 22 as well. So 22 plus 22 brings you to the gematria of Dom, blood. At that stage, without HaKadosh Baruch Hu adding anything, what would the human being be? He would be nothing more than just simply flesh and blood. He would be like an animal. What is the most powerful muzzle? The Rosh HaMazalos is the month of Nisan. It's the muzzle of Mitzrayim. And what's the muzzle of Mitzrayim? It's the muzzle of the Teleh, the sheep. What's the gematria of the sheep? Teleh is gematria 44. In other words, if all we had was the father and the mother, the 22 of the father, the 22 of the mother, that would bring you to a sense of Dom. Flesh and blood, much like the Mitzrayim. A sense of Mitzorim, a sense of being limited, constrained. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, Atem Kruyin Odom. I'm going to add onto that Dom, I'm going to add the Aleph of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Aluf HaShalayim. And through that, our 10 Kuruyan Adam, you become the 45, the Adam, the true Adam, that takes you up above the Mazalis. Up above even the most powerful Mazal, Klal Yisrael is above that. We're outside of Mitzrayim, we're outside of those constraints. And in fact, with that idea, it occurred to me yesterday, you know Rabbi Akiva, the Gemara says in Pesachim, the Gemara says that Rabbi Akiva, he said to his Talmidim, he said, when I was in Amal Oretz, I used to say, Mi yeten li, if somebody would just give me a Talmud Chocham, an Ashkenu kachamor, and I'd be able to bite him like a chamor, like a donkey. So his Talmidim said, why like a donkey? Why not like a dog? Like a kelev? So he said, no, because a dog bites, but it doesn't break any bones. But a chamor, when it bites, it breaks the bones. What's this all about? What did Rabbi Akiva want to do? The answer is, Rabbi Akiva said, when I was an Amar Oret, I wanted to break the etzem, I wanted to break those bones. I understood the 22 letters, the 22 building blocks of Yiddishkeit, the 22 building blocks of the Torah, that's what I wanted to break. I didn't want to just bite. I wanted to break that. I had such a hatred. The Gemara talks about that, the sinah that the Amar Oret have for Talmidei Chachamim. I wanted to break that. But what did he see? In the end, we know at the age of 40, he realized the beauty of Torah. And what did he go and do? So we all know the story in Ovis to Rabbi Nelson. At that age, he suddenly realized with a drop of water, and he goes along, and what does he see? He goes with his son, and he goes to the Malami Tinoikes, and he asks him to teach him the Aleph Beis. So all the Mephoroshim are perplexed. What do you mean? We know Rabbi Akiva, he quotes Pesukim. He clearly did not learn Aleph Beis from scratch. So what's this all about? Why was he asking them to teach him Aleph Beis? So some say it doesn't mean Aleph Beis is in, Aleph Or is Or, etc. No, it means the Soidos, the secrets of it. There's all sorts of pshatim. But based on what we've said, it comes out beautiful. Because Rabbi Akiva said, as an Amar Oretz, I understood that the Aleph Beis, the 22 letters of the Aleph Beis, which make up our Torah, are the 22 atzolos, the 22 building blocks of Yiddishkeit, of the Torah. And that's what I wanted to break. Once at the age of 40, I came to the realization of the beauty of Torah, the value of Torah, I wanted to rectify that. Of course he knew the Aleph Beis, but he said it all starts, the building blocks are from the Aleph Beis. And that's why he took his son with him, the Aleph Beis, the father to the next generation. He understood that the secret for Klal Yisrael's success, what makes Klal Yisrael so special, is that sense of passing on through the generations. From father to son to grandson, all the way through the generations. He took his son along and he said, let's start learning from the very beginning, from the Aleph Beis. And that's essentially, that's what we're trying to achieve through these months, starting from Shabbat. The month where we don't see it. We're living in Golus, we're living in a world of Armonic. But we live without a munah that Yesh, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is there, Yesh HaYilomoy, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is there, Behar. We then go into the month of Adar, we go into that month when we're going to take on Amalek. Those who are trying to stop that sense of Dor Dor, that continuity of Klal Yisrael. And we take up the battle, and we win the battle, but it's still, HaKadosh Baruch Hu hasn't actually revealed himself. Until we come to the month of Nisan, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, now is the time to rebuild the Adam, to bring it out in its full glory, starting with the 22 that the Father gives, that sense of Emunah, the Namor, the Hemnusah, followed by the 22 that the Mother gives, that sense of love for Yiddishkeit, and then HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, if you do that, then I promise you, I will add on my Aleph, that's for the Higadotah of Incha, you will be outside of Mitzrayim, outside of the Teler, outside of the confining factors of Mitzrayim, you will have that sense of continuity, you will have those payers. So yes, the month of Nisan is the time when you just see those first blossoms, but you know when the blossoms are there, this is the message that Klal Yisrael will continue, as the Pasuk says in Parashas Bo, when Vayikai Zohom, Vayishtachavu, and Rashi says, Al-Basuris Tovis, what was the great news they were given? Well, on the one hand, they were going to go out of Mitzrayim, that we can understand. They're going to go to Eretz Yisrael, that we can understand. And what's the third great piece of news? They're going to have children. No, is that a great surprise? The answer is that every single one of these 600,000 neshamas, every single one of them will bear payers. From the Samuch Riboy, from that sense of from the 600,000, there will be a Riboy, they will multiply, there will be payers. Bezes Hashem, as we go towards, as we said, from our dots in Islam, Be'ez Hashem, Mismach Gula the Gula, as the Gemara says, we should be Zeicha from one Gula, the Gula of Purim, to the Gula of Yetzias Mitzrayim, and Be'ez Hashem, a Gula from what the world is facing at the moment.